This is Carolyn Cromings, and welcome to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, where we talk about everything related to contractors, construction, and information to help you run better businesses. Hello, guys. It's Carolyn Cromings. Welcome back to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, where we talk about all the ways not to get screwed in the construction industry and how to run a better business. And today we're going to be focusing on the better business side and how important customer reviews are and how to get them. And so today I have with me Sean Hill of Nice Job, an expert in the review industry, which I am not. I do know that they matter. How are you doing today, Sean?
I'm doing great. You know, anytime I get a chance to come and kind of chat with another professional, it's always great. I love, as you'll find out, hearing myself talk. So whenever I get the opportunity to do it, I'm all about it.
Awesome. So before we dive into exactly what Nice Job does and how important that is, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got in this specific industry.
Yeah, so I'm the community director for Nice Job, which is reputation marketing software. So reviews and reputation, all those sort of things. And I kind of fall in between like a marketing department and a partnerships department. And kind of how I ended up between departments is I'm a non-traditional marketer at heart. So what that means is I didn't kind of go to school necessarily for marketing. Kind of where I started making my career, the first 15 years of my career, was actually in a field called game entertainment or game presentation, which has ever been to a sporting event. It's the t-shirts, it's the mascots, it's the music, it's all that fun stuff. But how that kind of coalesced and how I ended up here was my job was taking passionate people, so sports fans, and then making them more passionate. So as simple as make noise, but kind of on the greater bottom line sort of thing is, you know, want to invest and become season ticket holders, want to invest in, you know, buy merchandise, things like that. So at a time I got to kind of the, I don't want to say the end of my sports run, but a time where I just needed a little bit of a break and a little bit of a switch. And I found Nice Job. What Nice Job did at the time, they were just getting out of the field called reputation management. What reputation management is just kind of collecting reviews, full stop. They were going towards reputation marketing where they wanted to kind of create this engine that fed customer-driven growth, which I'm sure we'll touch on a little bit. But for me, as they kind of brought me in, like, hey, you're a guy that takes passionate people and makes them more passionate. We kind of want to do the same thing. We kind of want to build communities because ultimately, Nice Job, you know, the full ethos is to kind of be that tide that rises all boats, is that if we get business owners, even if they're not using our software, to understand how important reviews are, how important it is to grow your reputation, that's going to kind of bring the level up above. Now, this was in 2019. Little do we know what the next 2-3 years would hold and how important even more so this would become. But that's kind of how I got here. It's a bit of a non-traditional route, so I'd like to bring some non-traditional ideas to it. But ultimately, you know, it's about this overarching mission to try to kind of raise everybody up. And that was something that just really appealed to me.
So why are reviews so important to a company? Why does a company need reviews?
Well, so it's kind of, there's two answers to that. And to keep it kind of very brief is one is social proof, right? Which is proof that you're doing a good job, right? You can go and say you're the best. You can name your company the best blank. Doesn't mean you actually are unless someone backs it up. It's the same reason why coming from the sports field, there's judges, there's rules, there's scoreboards. In the end, people like to evaluate and have some sort of proof that there is a definitive answer there. And then the second reason our reviews are so important is it is probably the most impactful feedback that you're going to get for your business. So forget about what I'm going to talk about in the customer-driven growth model of, you know, taking reviews, turn it into marketing, getting more leads and sales, and go back to how are we doing the job each and every day. If you're able to get feedback on that coming through reviews, then you're able to make changes, whether it's systems, culture, personnel, whatever the case may be. So it's a really important channel for you to have, even if you never convert it into marketing, never convert it into leads and sales. It's important to always have a feedback channel, and those that build their business on accepting feedback tend to have more success in the long run.
Gotcha. So Nice Job does more than just manage reviews. It sounds like they use it for marketing. Tell me a little bit more about what exactly Nice Job does.
Yeah, so making the shift from reputation management to reputation marketing. So reputation management is you're just collecting reviews. A lot of companies have gone to, you collect the good reviews and you try to fear and shun the bad ones. They do policies that'll get you in trouble with the likes of Google and things like that. Things like review gating, where you probably heard of this. You send an email and you have them rank on a 1 to 10. If they say less than 7, then it goes to the personal inbox. But they say 7 and above, then we send them to Google. These are all things, especially I would say in the last 6 months, Google's cracking down on punishing businesses for those sort of practices. Right. Reputation marketing is you're getting an easy system to collect reviews, right? So the way Nice Job does it is there's a campaign that goes through sending messages out at the right time, at the right tone. But when you collect those reviews, it's being able to analyze, share, and amplify those. So from the analyzing perspective, which is probably the most difficult, is we use things like machine learning and AI to tell you what topics are in your reviews, right? So you can understand exactly what a person is saying, so you can make those, like I said, systematic or maybe personnel changes. Sharing those, so allowing a review that's left on Google to be automatically shared to Facebook as a post, you know, automatically shared to Twitter as a post. We even have a little manual feature you can do where now you can share your reviews to Instagram. And then from the amplification of that is sharing it in a way that people want to engage with it and it starts to really grow. But then also it's taking a voice from one spot, you know, one review, and having a whole collection of reviews that match that, turning it kind of into a narrative and then putting that all about. So Nice Job doesn't do things like, for example, place paid ads, but we give you the prime gold that you're going to put in that ad that is going to make it more effective, raise your conversion rates and things like that. So that's kind of the whole big cycle. So Nice Job, it's core. If you just want to collect reviews, we got you covered. Boom, we got your back. You go through there. If you want to take the next step and understand what they're saying, you want to take the next step and turn it into leads and sales, you want to get what I like to call customer-driven growth, which at its core is every customer you serve gives you the ability to get one more from it. If you want to do that, that's why our software is becoming all-encompassing in the reputation marketing sphere. So that's kind of like in a nutshell. There's a lot more nuts and bolts. A lot of the engineers, when they hear this, are going to be like, you didn't talk about the blank. But there's a lot of things to try to do because we want to always keep it simple for you as well. So the core thing we're built on is helping you get customer-driven growth and being as simple to use for you as it is for your customers.
So how bad or how much does it hurt a business when they have negative reviews?
All right. So this is where I kind of swim upstream. Negative reviews, the only thing that's bad about them is that you did a bad job, right? And I know some people are going to go, no, the bad review I have, that person's wrong, right? And the bad job you did was you didn't set the right expectations. And what I mean by that is if someone expects you, you know, say you're a painter, and they expect you to get a full house painted in 10 minutes, and it's only going to cost $100, and they go in hiring you believing that's the case, and you take longer than 10 minutes or charge more than $100, you didn't set the expectation. And of course, you're going to come back with a bad review. Now, if you set the expectation to them, it's going to take more than 10 minutes, it's going to take more than $100, and they don't become your customer, they probably weren't a good customer for you to begin with because you don't do the 10-minute, $100 job. There might be a person out there that does. Let them hire them, and then they'll hire you to come back and repaint it when they realize what 10 minutes and $100 gets them. And so by failure to set expectations, that's where bad reviews come in. But if a legitimate bad review comes in, so it's not that expectations were unreasonable, that you feel you set quality expectations, you feel like you had an agreement with the customer, but you just didn't live up to it. That's why I go back to the valuable feedback. So the first thing you're going to get is, hey, this team didn't clean up afterwards, right? She complained, or he complained, she complained about us not being, you know, clean, leaving tools behind, something like that. This crew didn't do that. I need to reemphasize with this crew, hey, it's one of our core values that we are, you know, a fast, efficient, but clean company. We need to clean this up. The other thing, it might be like, hey, I was expecting, you know, it to kind of look like this, kind of like that. You can figure out, all right, well, maybe our technique needs to change, or we need to better address problems. A lot of times bad reviews come with halfway through a job and something unexpected comes up and you don't quite handle it great. But also it gives you the opportunity to do, if you've ever watched a Disney movie, if you ever watched a Hallmark movie, if you've ever watched anything like that, it gives you that moment where like the music gets a little swelly down and it's now time for your comeback story to begin. And what I mean by that is you should reply to that review, you own your mistakes and you hope for the opportunity to get a chance to serve them again. But then two things will happen. If you get a chance to serve them again and you knock their socks off and now all of a sudden they're a huge advocate, imagine the narrative and the story they're going to tell. They're going to tell that Disney story thing. You know, they came out and didn't get a job, but then they called me, and now I love this team because they made it right. They came back the next day. They fixed it. Oh, it's so great. Well, now that social proof to a new customer is, all right, well, even if it goes wrong, I still can end up satisfied. You now have made that a part of your company. Even if it goes wrong, you're still going to leave satisfied. Think of the marketing potential just of that statement alone. The other opportunity, if you don't get a chance to win them over, is you put a line in the sand that says, on this date with this job, we made a mistake and we're never gonna do that again. I tell people, you know, people look at average of like 10 reviews before they start making a decision. And the reason they do that, so trying to look through to figure out if the complaints are one-offs or if they're a trend. If someone 2 years ago says you're late, and then in 2 years, no one says you were late again, people will go, well, they learned from their mistake. I should expect them not to be late. And then when you're not late, boom, you're already on the right path. And so bad reviews, I'm not saying go out and collect them because again, it means you probably did something wrong. Even if it's completely, like I said, the expectations or completely unreasonable to the customer. That's where you got to fix your process to make sure you're getting the customers you want. But every opportunity gives you a chance to, you know, build the narrative, improve and grow, because over time, that's what we want to see. And the final analogy I use is it's kind of like, you know, wedding vows, right? To death of us part, sickness and health. It's a whole about being a partnership with your customer throughout the whole length of your customer journey, whether it's one job or whether they're a repeat customer for 10 years. They want to see you grow, improve, and evolve, and you can do that. So bad reviews, don't fear them anymore. If you're listening to this, the only thing I want you to leave with is don't fear bad reviews.
That's amazing. And so, you know, like a big part of my job when I'm selling a client a contract is the whole point of the contract is to manage expectations so we don't end up at a place of bad review, a courtroom or something like that. And the more upfront we can be about that whole process, the a lot less likely that we're going to have a dispute. Because what I always tell my clients is they have an expectation,
yep.
A house and $100, 10 minutes. And if we don't correct that expectation, that's what we're judged against. And that's how we get these bad reviews over and over. And even further than that, litigation and all the things. So, from bad reviews, tell me some success stories from some of your customers. Like, how has it improved their business? How has it improved their reputation? Tell me some of the good stuff.
Well, so I always like to say, you know, you can always check out the reviews. That's where you kind of really see it. But I will tell you a couple things. The stories that I like to hear, and we get those a lot, was we tried a little, I don't want to call it a promotion because it wasn't really that. It was something actually our chief product officer, Lars Christensen, just said while he was on a live stream. Was he was like, hey, if you don't have 20 reviews, send me a message right now and I'll give you a nice job for free until you get to 20 reviews, right? And the whole part was that 20 review mark, like 20 to 30 reviews, is really when you finally get yourself in the game, right? When you become the competitor. Because if you have 2 reviews, you have 3 reviews, people either think you're brand new or if you've been around a while that you're not quite into it or maybe you're doing something shady. When you get to 20, 30, even if your competitors have 200 or 300, It means that you're kind of new, you're kind of on the scene, and people always like a little bit of that, everyone's got a little bit of hipster in them of like, all right, well, maybe the new up-and-coming person, they can become my person, a little bit easier to get on the phone, something like that. So the stories I love to hear are the people that aren't, you know, we had a client recently that just got his 1,000th Google review. Like, incredible. But yeah. I love hearing the ones that when they first get to double digits, and then a little bit later, they're approaching triple digits. And the reason why is because that's the part of the business where you're making the most, like you're letting the concrete settle on the foundation of your business, right? So for us, we do have the ability to work with, you know, medium and large size businesses. But I think where we all, if we're being honest, get a little bit of our swell and a little bit of our jollies and what gets us out of bed in the morning is helping those that are growing their business in a right way and helping them sustain that by giving them the reputation they deserve. So it's all the young ones that kind of come up, young businesses, I say, that come up and get that growth that I really, really love. And those success stories of the people that I think when you read our reviews, those are the ones I think that tend to stand out to me, because we do have other ones, like I said, a guy just got his 1,000th, you know, we have some that are really competitive markets and they talk about, how we're able to kind of be that competitive edge to keep them going. We also talk about ones that their plan was to sell their business and they're able to get the dollar value they want because they have the social proof to back up how strong their business is and how strong their business model is. But for me, the success stories are always the ones where it's the one person working out of one truck that is able to then become 2-3 trucks with a bigger team because their social proof helps them, one, continue to get customers, but also they're able to take what they're learning from the reviews, take what they're learning about their business and turn it into great systems and structures that they're actually using social proof to like recruit and get the best talent in their area to come work for their business. Those are the success stories I really, really kind of love as much as some of the ones that get the headlines or the quadruple digit ones.
Gotcha. So, I mean, this is so much more than just marketing, right? It sounds like it can help you improve your business if you're really paying attention. So like, how are the requests sent?
So we have a campaign that we recommend. It's kind of set things like that. We've added some elements of customization for those that might want a little bit of a layout. But really what we've kind of studied and what we found out was, one, there's a little bit, the tiniest bit of work that we always suggest and we try to coach you through on your side, which is asking at the moment of peak happiness, right? So throughout the whole system, the whole customer journey, we want you to be kind of checking in, you know, you're asking your feedback, you're staying in close communication with the customer. We feel like that's good business practice. Usually at the end of a job is the moment of peak happiness when they turn around, they see the great work that you did. At that point, your conversation, you want to send them a text message. So that's where Nice Job will start off with. So it's automated. If you have some CRMs that you use, you can actually transfer it right away. So when you close a job in your CRM, it'll automatically start the Nice Job process. Or if you want to do a little, when I say a little bit of manual work, it's literally like hitting one button. Hit one button, it'll start sending the text message out. And then from there, they have a nice link. The link leads them right to their review.news site, which is a Google shortcut site. It'll display all the review platforms that you are connected to. You can order them. So if you want to really focus on Google, you can have Google at the top or Facebook at the top, Better Business Bureau, whatever it may be. But it also has a little smart AI in it that determines if they cannot leave a Google review, so they don't have a Google account, they're not logged in, as best as we can determine. Instead of sending them to a barrier, sending them to a roadblock, which is going to be have them go, I'm not dealing with this now.
Yeah.
You know, we get them to a place like Facebook or, you know, another sort of avenue, knowing that you can then later share that across your social media. So you're still going to get great amplification from it. That text message goes first. Couple days after that, we follow up with an email only if they have not left a review. If you send that text, they leave a review, no other messages come from Nice Job, you're good to go on that one. But if not, it'll follow up with an email. A couple days after that, there'll be an additional one. So up to 3 follow-up emails after that initial text. So 4 different touch points. Within those touch points, we give you copy that changes the tone. So it doesn't feel like you're begging, doesn't feel like you're nagging. It really is like a gentle reminder and it kind of goes through. Ironically enough, the biggest success we have is that first text message and actually that last email. The last email, we call the personal message. It comes from you as the owner saying like, hey, you know, we really appreciate it. We can't look to serve you again. We know feedback's important to us. So we're just gonna leave it to you one more time, but you know what? We're looking forward to it. And you kind of almost sign off and that kind of invites them to leave the review at that point.
Do you find that people get aggravated at the amount of touches or have you heard any complaints about that? I'm curious.
You know what? I would be lying if I said we heard 0 complaints. However, a lot of the times we hear complaints is because at the same time, the business owner is also, you know, sending a drop flyer and sending another email and then giving a robocall. The way the Nice Job messages are crafted, it's really very specific, right? So it's very narrowed in and collecting the feedback and inviting them. Like we call them review requests or you can call them review invites, right? But also the fact that it's such a quick process, a lot of people do it right at that first text message. If you set them up for success, we actually have on our YouTube channel video where we talk about an HVAC professional that got 60 of his first 62 customers leave reviews because what he did at the end was literally just got them to have their phone in their hand. If he worked them, like, oh, I sent you a text message. Did it come through? When they did, they saw it, they clicked it, and he was rolling from there. So you definitely can do things. But the reason that it doesn't come off spammy or come off, like I said, naggy is because, one, we try to coach you through and we hope that you're doing it. It's the best for success that, hey, I'm going to ask you for a review at the end of it. You're kind of letting them know, right? It's almost similar of, you know, when you go to restaurants or whatever, you know, there's going to be a tip line on the bill, right? You kind of know that going into it because they kind of built that in their culture. We want you to build into your company culture that you're going to ask for a review. You're going to ask for feedback. But the messages come through, you know, nice and easy. And the fact that if they leave a review, there's no follow-up, that avoids kind of the complaint. And the fact that it's only 4 messages based over kind of the length of 2 weeks, it's not really kind of pounding down the door. It's really meeting them where they are. Because the story I like to tell is, can you tell you how many times I get a text message, then all of a sudden my dog starts barking. Or all of a sudden I pick up my phone to see a text, I see there's another text or a news alert. And then those follow-up emails, I see it, but I'm not really in the time to do it. So really you're just meeting them where they are. You're matching the pace of life, so to speak. So, but again, you also have the ability to customize. We don't recommend like removing a campaign message, but if you already are sending, where I already send a follow-up and I send my invoice this way, I send like that. You do have the ability to customize it and make some kind of custom campaigns within it. But the reason our main campaign is the main campaign is that's the one we studied and tested and we know has the best results.
Gotcha. So how many people look at reviews before they hire somebody? What is like the percentage?
You know? It's you've seen everywhere up from 85%. You know, I've seen a little bit higher and sometimes a little bit lower. To go away from the percentage, what I've really been kind of obsessed with, for lack of a better word, is the fact that it was said in a Google presentation that curiosity is not linear anymore. And what I mean by that is that the whole, I'm going to go on, I have a plumbing problem and search plumbers near me, is kind of fading, right? A lot of times what people do is they'll search through like a Google map. They'll go directly to the map function and just type in plumbing and see what's kind of around them. Or another thing they'll do is if they heard or they saw on someone's Facebook page or they see on an Instagram account, they see that content, it's in the back of their mind of like, oh, who did so-and-so use or who did that person use? And they kind of start there. We're also seeing a lot of people going to things like YouTube and looking up DIY and going, nope, and then trying to figure it out from there. And the reason I bring this all up is the gateway from where that search is beginning to where they're going to actually find your name and your business more than likely comes from a review, right? So for example, maybe perhaps it's in a YouTube comment, right? Or perhaps as you're searching that, you know, that business, we always tell business owners, like, if you can put out YouTube content, like when people are looking up DIY content, it should be your business showing them how to do it. And at the end, be like, and if this seems like too much, call us. So YouTube will do a little regional in that sort of sense. But going through, you know, Facebook, going through forums, Reddits, Instagram, all that sort of things, is a lot of times people are finding what's the local sentiment and then being narrowed in a bit more. And even if they still are searching blank near me, that social proof, the fact that you're going to feed it with user-generated content to Google, that's helping your search results. That's helping you kind of rank up. And then once they click in, they can like your website, they can look around. But we have a widget we call Engage, which is a small little pop-up that comes up every 7 seconds and shows your most recent reviews. That has raised conversion rates up to 10% at times because it's that real-time trust-building social proof coming at them. So reviews are incredibly important. And whatever figure you kind of look at, I can tell you it might not be the end-all be-all why they make the decision, but I guarantee it guides them to that point where they're ready to make a decision. So if you don't have reviews, you have no escort to the buying zone. But if you do have reviews and you're able to use those reviews as social content and spread it kind of all around, no matter where that curiosity starts, they should be able to find a pathway to you.
And so another question is, do you have to have a website to make this work? Or can you, I'm just curious.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to just say yes. I would love to kind of say no. You do need a website of some sort, mostly because it's kind of like, I'll say like having a booth in an event, right? Like if you have a booth there and there's nothing there, there's no person, there's no banners, no nothing, nothing sort of happens. There's really ways to get, you know, cheap and free online presence. I will say the only counteract, if you really don't want a website, some ways you're still into the internet, but against websites, then you have to have enough social media to kind of cover all around. But ultimately having a digital connection, cause you can get all the internet buzz, you can get all the personal word of mouth as possible. But people are fully connected at this point. Unfortunately, I think the days of so-and-so told me about it, then another person told me about it, and then I went to Yellow Pages and then made a direct call. I'm pretty safe in saying that one's kind of done there. However, there are the ability, you know, going back to how people search. If you and I are speaking, I'm like, oh, it was the podcast. It was the if it's something like getting something like that, I couldn't figure it out. You're going to go and search just enough of that. If you have a web page and social media and things like that, now you're populating those search results when they're trying to search directly for you, but don't quite get it right. So I think it's imperative a website. Nice Job does have a website product, which we think kind of closes the whole loop. We actually call it a convert site or convert site because it's based on conversion rates. So it's all about getting people in and getting them to take action. That's something we kind of add as a kind of a topper, but no matter what website you're using, you can still, you know, plug in your reviews, you know, your widgets, your things like that to really make it work. But I think a website's a good kind of a zone for you to have to really start getting customers at a rapid rate.
So kind of two things. So first off, we kind of went over all of the advantages. How much does it hurt a company if they don't have any online presence? I'm just from your experience and your opinion, or even if they have an online presence, if they're not really pushing the reviews.
Yeah. So I'm going to go back to my sports background in this one. You know, at every home game, there's always away fans, right? The people that are cheering for the other teams on their home thing. And then think about the crowd noise. Right? When the home team does something great, there's 10,000 people screaming and yelling. And when the away team does something good, there's two people. Well, when they're both trying to cheer on, so nothing's good, it's about to happen. So in hockey before a face-off, in football before a big play, baseball, a big pitch, both teams' fans are yelling really, really loud. Well, which one comes through on the TV, right? Which one kind of comes through? So that's why having kind of strength in numbers in that regard really sort of helps you. If you don't have reviews, I would say the biggest risk you have is your reputation you will never own. You can have 1,000 reviews, 2,000 reviews, 3,000 reviews. You don't actually own what those reviews can say, and you don't own where that narrative can shift. So what you do have is your brand. And if you can infuse your reputation into your brand, that's where you're ultimately successful. But if you don't have a reputation or you don't have online reviews, you don't even have, I'll say if you don't have a feedback channel. So let's get out from online reviews. Everyone thinks, all right, the guy who's pitching online reviews is going to say all about that. If you don't have at least a book of written words that you could show a customer, if you don't have any social proof, anything that verifies the claims that you're making, that, hey, I'm going to do a good job for you, or even I'm going to provide the service for you. If you don't have any of that at all, you're really behind the eight ball when it comes to building trust. And ultimately, customers want to work with people they trust. I think more than we want to admit, it's a little bit more of a partnership and a relationship than just a buyer-seller sort of equation. And so if you don't have that social proof, you're really going to be struggling every single time to prove who you are. Once you get reviews, even just the smallest little reviews, going back, that 20 to 30 mark of reviews is where you actually become a competitor. Before that, you're just a person doing a service that really is going to kind of be spinning its wheels. So I think having feedback is the most important thing. I think the easiest form of feedback to turn into things that can help you grow your business is something like a written review, hopefully posted online. But even if someone writes you a nice little card and you take a picture of that, put it on social media, or you take those words and you put it into your ad copy and you're able to back up, here's the verification of that, then you're already on your way.
So your platform, can they look at all of the reviews in one place at one time? Is your everything on Nice Job?
Yeah, so on the Nice Job dashboard, you'll see the review as it comes in, where the review was left. If it's something like a Google review, you actually can reply to your reviews right within the platform. But then also some of the insights that we have, you can see some pretty charts and graphs. I'm not a big numbers guy, but some great charts and graphs to see like where your review was left, how many reviews you're collecting per month on these certain platforms, which team members, so who among your team is collecting what type of reviews, what the overall rating is. So you're really able to, if you're a business owner listening to this, you really want to dive into your numbers and dive into your analytics. We have the ability for you to do that. But ultimately, when this was first founded, and one thing we stick to our core ethos was, we're going to be the marketing people. We're going to be the reputation marketing experts. We're going to do all the technological stuff. You get to do your business. You get to be the best painter, plumber, landscaper, whatever you be. And you're able to now use this tool. So we always make it simple, clear, and easy, and try to get everything wrapped up in one dashboard for you. So you don't have to worry about being tech savvy or anything like that to really understand. And we're constantly improving that. We're constantly talking to people within our community. We're trying to do as best research we can to find the best way to kind of display it to you. But yeah, we want it to be an all-in-one hub for your reviews. So you know where they're coming from, who got them, how they came through, even how successful, you know, your messages are, your campaigns are, and things like that. So everything kind of right at your fingertips, to use that old cliche there.
Awesome, because that was my next question. Once you get this set up, how involved do you have to be? Or is it automated, or how much do you have to be involved in it?
This is actually the one question I think where my head kind of gets panicky a little bit, because Nice Job absolutely can be a set it and forget it product. You can set your automations, mentioned if you have a CRM or if you use something like QuickBooks or something that can be an automatic trigger, something that you're in every day. So when you send an invoice, you close a job, you hit complete, and that'll automatically populate the info that Nice Job needs, so the name, the email, the phone number, and start the campaign right away. It automatically pulls out. You can do things like automate the social sharing. So, hey, if I get a review on Google that's 4 stars and above, I want you to immediately share that out to my LinkedIn, my Twitter, my Facebook, things like that. So, yes, it can be set and forget it. However, me personally, I love diving into it. And everything is so simple that it's not like you really have to. But things like being able to do some manual sharing to share it to Instagram, so you can pick the background, you can pick the high impact snippet. Things like making sure that your teams are tasked. If you have a bigger company, right, so you have maybe a field sales and office staff and things like that, sometimes when people leave the review, it's the last person they talk to, right? Like, oh, Carolyn came and she was great. You're like, yeah, but it was Carolyn, it was Chelsea, it was Sean, it was Steve, it was John. All these people were involved in this task. So the ability to add those to the reviews for your internal dashboard, so you can do things like performance pay or things of that nature. The amount that you can dive in, I think it's worth putting your hands on. But at its core, if you're just trying to get going, or you want to know at least if you never have the time to dive in, that you have something that's effective and is going to help you grow your business, Nice Job can be fully automated in that regard.
And then, so my last question before I ask you if I missed anything, does it work with any type of platform? So like, I know there's guys that use different like Jobber or BigClips. There's a bunch of different, Procore. How does it work within those systems?
Yeah. So we do have some native integrations. Like you mentioned Jobber, we have a native integration with them. Things like ResponsiBid, I mentioned QuickBooks a little bit earlier. So we have a ton of different apps that we have some native integrations with. If we don't have a native integration with it, we can look at things like a tool called Zapier and try to make something that'll automate it as well. But the thing I really like is that if there's something we don't, let us know. We kind of put it through the process, but we start that conversation. A lot of times, I'll tell you, it takes two to tango, and it's engineering teams that have to build that integration. Sometimes it doesn't come as quick as we want, but we're always looking, like I said, to make this a set it and forget it at its core. But in the end, you know, our success team is legendary because they find solutions, they figure out. Even things I've never even think were, I don't say possible, but the solution I never could wrap my head around of how to get to A to B, they kind of find a way to do it. And if it's not possible to automate, we, like I said, we try to make things as easy as possible. But overall, our goal is to find the tools that you are using, the software that you're using, and build an effective tech stack or build something that allows you just to keep doing your business, keep being the professional that you are, and not have to worry about, you know, the marketing, the software, or anything like that. But I think on our website, it's like thousands, and I'm certainly that's true. But if we can find a way to connect and automate it for you, that's our number one goal. If not, it's the easiest process possible, and we're always adding new ones almost every single month.
Awesome. Well, is there anything else I forgot that you think is important?
You know, I can't believe I would say this many words and actually forget something. So I'm sure I covered it all. But in the end, I talked about, you know, what the big takeaways are. And I talked about, you know, not fearing bad reviews. So the final message I want to get is getting reviews is imperative to being a successful business. Part of your business plan, part of your strategies, part of your culture is like it has to involve getting feedback, absorbing that, and making changes as needed. No one gets it right on day one of their business. They never set the perfect plan, the perfect formula. And the reason why is, even if it is at that time, people evolve, people change, you know? Now, just think about the fact as a service professional or really any sort of business that everyone has their own camera, their own broadcasting thing right in their hand, right? Their cell phone. And they can go live on Instagram. They could, you know, make something on TikTok, a before and after. They now have just as much of an ability to be a broadcaster as you as the business professional can be. And so with that, it's very important to build trust and actually communicate and make partnerships with your customers. And reputation, you'll never own it, but your brand that you can. If you go in every day and say, you know what, we want to do the best job we can, we want to learn everything we can, and we want to improve the next day, those three things you do each and every day, I guarantee that you're going to have the best possibility for success. So let's lean in, let's start taking it seriously, if I can kind of throw the gauntlet down a little bit, because so many people think reviews are meh, only negative people leave reviews, only complainers leave reviews. You have an army of marketers out there that are ready to, you know, cheer for your team to go to the Sports Reference. So give them an opportunity. If you can turn a loyal customer into a vocal advocate, it'll be your best sales engine out there. So embrace reviews, embrace feedback, and really make it a part of your culture and a part of who you are as a business. And I can almost guarantee, asterisk, not legally binding, guarantee that you're gonna be successful.
Absolutely. Okay, so if somebody wanted to find out more, where would they go?
So I invite you to go to get.nicejob.com. You also type in nicejob.com, but they always tell me to say get. And that'll take you right to our website, and you kind of can explore around there. I think also in the show notes and description like that, we'll have some kind of direct links to kind of go through to really guide you into it. But yeah, that's where I absolutely invite you to check it out. You can always search for me, Sean Hill, on Facebook. And connect with me there, or you can send me an email, Sean, spelled correctly, S-H-A-W-N, at nicejob.com, and I'd be happy, as you can tell, to talk with you just about anything.
Awesome. You can also check out Nice Jobs Reviews.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great source.
Yeah.
There's lots of good ones. Huh, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sean. I'm sure we'll have you on again and talk about another exciting topic like this. So, thank you.
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Quit Getting Screwed. I hope you found it helpful. If you like what you hear, please like us and follow our podcast. If you want further information, you can find us at subcontractorinstitute.com. We're also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And the book is available on Amazon. Thank you.